A pleasure to welcome Michael Hoy. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Can you hear me?
I can, absolutely. And Michael, this is a pleasure. And I'm just amazed at the, and maybe you're amazed too, at the string of success you've had.
It is amazing. It's been a hell of a trip. I'd say 99% of this success to a guy named Michael Maker. Just briefly, you mentioned our new Justify cult, you know, and he's adorable, but I was gonna throw you a little caveat at Ups and Downs Farm, where we board our mares. Their farm manager Ed is a stalwart, Ed Valentine, and he's been around, and if Ed were to pass, I think he'd come back as a horse. But he says, "You never want me to call your foal cute." he can be a runner, he can be adorable, but you never want to hear the word cute. But based on the video that they sent me, I believe I'm going to be okay on this one.
The Justify babies that that have been photographed and shown are pretty striking, and we'll get to your transition. It seems like everybody that has some degree of success, it's hard to have a mare end a career and not be interested in potentially breeding them. And I want to talk about how you evolved to that and at what juncture you felt it was worth doing. But talk about your interest in the game. I mean, you come from Arkansas, and so, you're almost by birth, anybody raised in Arkansas is a racing fan. And, so you came to being a fan, honestly.
I did. First trip to the racetrack was Oakland Park. I want to say probably the spring of when I was 15 years old. Went with some near and dear high school friends and had a very good time. And it's just stuck with me over time. And I'm kind of a creature of habit. I have the same routine, same route to the track. Pull over, eat lunch at the same place, and really attend the races frequently with the same group of in and out of half a dozen guys. It was and still is a very it's just a great way for fellowship.
No doubt. And your parents were professors, I know.
Yes.
at Arkansas Monticello.
Correct. Yeah. Father was a math and physics professor. Mom was a chemistry professor. And I was well on my way to becoming, I hold a dual major in math and physics myself, and a graduate degree in engineering. I was well on my way probably to being a teacher or a professor myself. And, then I had a little changing course in life, a.k.a. If you look at how our educators are compensated today, I just made a choice based on monetary income and, went with an engineering degree. But I came out of a somewhat of an Asian conservative culture. I don't really feel even today that my father would really approve of. I just knew at the time he didn't approve of the racetrack and the potential of parimutuel wagering. But, that's another story. But no, I mean, the Oakland Park started it all for me. Horse racing is, in a way, to varying degrees, been a part of my life as my professional career developed. I always kept an eye on it when I was domiciled with the employment in Bossier City, Shreveport. So I would make it wasn't a frequent trip because we had young kids at the time. So, you know, I kept an eye on the racetrack as my professional career. You know, I'll just say move forward. And when I had an opportunity, when I relocated back to Little Rock in probably 2003, Little Rock, Hot Springs, Oakland Park, it's about 50 minutes away. Hmm. So I was kind of back in the game as far as it being a form of entertainment. So, you know, I've always had a, you know, it's always followed me. I've said, I guess, in several other interviews that, you know, and I don't, you know, I'm more of a race track person than an equine person, to the extent that, I'm not a horseman. I haven't been on a horse or a pony since I was 12 years old, but it's just the sport just, it just, I'll just use the term, well, it just sucks you in. But to watch those, you know, those horses / athletes compete, and at that, the race is normally a lot of fun.
Absolutely. No doubt. How soon did you, in terms of leisure time and revenue, when did you get involved? When did you start claiming horses?
Well, I'll tell you what, in 2010, had a mutual, a very close friend, a guy named Bo Hembrick. A college suite mate was, back in school, he had a relationship with a gentleman by the name of Greg Compton. I took the next step. I said, okay, I've been to the track. It's been a good time. Paige, my wife, has a good time. I'd like to, take the next step, and I'm very curious as to what it's like to own one of these. So spring of 2010, I claimed my first horse, Diablo's Holiday. And good or bad, Steve, we got out on that horse to the extent that it didn't really cost me anything to own him, by which we claimed him for 30. I think maybe subsequent races, two or three after that, he was claimed back for 30, and somewhere in there he ran third or fourth. So we got out. It was, this is pretty easy. I think we'll do this again. Oh, yeah, I can hear you chuckle because I say by the Churchill Farm meet, I probably had eight. Oh, yeah, no. So it does get in your it does get in your blood, I did that for several years. It's my personality is I'm kind of a black and white analytics background type guy. I mean, for my background, it's analytics, but I was having I was just having so much fun. It can be at times financially draining. But it was a very educational time, and I moved on. And from that point, after I think probably a couple of years, and moved on, and I tried the November sales, the horses of racing age, and I had a gentleman by the name of Ron Moquette purchased several horses for me, either privately or, at one of the horses of racing ages sale, and we tried it again. And we just tried it from, I'll use the word term angle, I tried it from a different angle. So, it was, a little side story I believe it's Keeneland, November, that fall, and you fill in the year, Steve. I went to Keeneland because we were going to look at a horse by the name of Race Day.
Sure.
Okay. And I got to, arrived at Keeneland, met with Ron, but we decided, hey, maybe it would be better. Two is better than one. This is a very dangerous statement as far as horses. So we ended up buying a passing on Race Day, and we ended up with one horse named Tax Deduction. And I'm trying to think, I can't even remember. It was like, what was it? It was like Sailor or something like that. Well, it was trained at the time previously by Killing Order. So I ended up with two instead of one. You know, and the one later that following spring, I see running down the stretch of winning the Oaklawn Handicap. And the other two had moderate success. So I've transitioned from strictly claiming to purchasing privately and at older horses of racing age sale. The next step was I purchased several 2-year-olds with Ron, horse by the name of Vindication Now.
Oh, yeah.
And another one by the name of Tiz Adonis, which they both had a Vindication Now. Broke his maiden at Keeneland on the grass, which any race you win at Keeneland on the Holy Grail isn't very fulfilling and an accomplishment. And Tiz Adonis ended up moving through his allowance conditions, and he was a very good purchase. Then we moved forward, and I, out of a cold call and some research, contacted Michael Maker. And as you know, I know, Steve, you've known Michael a lot longer than I have. Having an extended conversation with Mike Maker can be challenging. So it's a cold call, and it's in December of 14. And so I called Mike Maker up, and I introduced myself, and we had met around the track. So I believe he had he at least said he knew who I was. And we struck a deal where we would claim one horse that spring at Gulfstream, and he would purchase one privately. And so, it was a 10-minute conversation at most. I said, and I left the conversation thinking, this guy, he seems like a pretty nice guy, but doesn't say much. So the horse that Mike purchased for me was horse by the name of Serious Talk, and who ended up running out, probably $175,000, $180,000. He won a black type stakes up at Woodbine that spring. The horse that he claimed for me was a horse by the name of Hammer's Terror.
Oh, yeah.
Ended up having success. So, the rest is history. Is as far as the higher level claimers and typically on turf. And for the most part, route races. So it's a very tight window that I shop in. In everything really, from a decision making process, it comes down to Mike Maker. Mike has. In our relationship, he has the final yes or no. And his success speaks for itself.
What has been the formula? Talk about taking Hoagie for 80 and Zulu Alpha that was actually started with John Ortiz.
Correct.
Took him for you and then saddled him in the Sycamore before Michael took over. Talk about the identification of the prospects and what kind of a checklist you go through and how the dollar amount, because it's clear that, it's a measured decision that you're making in terms of an investment between, $50,000 and $100,000.
Oh boy. So you're asking the colonel to divulge the KSC recipe.
Well, it's public now. They say that you can find it on the internet. So it.
Gotcha. All right. First of all, the key ingredient to this recipe is Michael Maker. It's Mike Maker. It's his eye. It's it's his work ethic, and most importantly, it's his at times brutal honesty. With Mike, it's yes, no, I like it, maybe, absolutely. Those are the words that I see in text thread response. How about this one? You know, or what does this one look like? But as far as the, I'll share with you the process. The overnight comes out. You look to see if there's any stable mail listing or horse that we've tagged that we've run against, or possibly Mike has had a race, had one in his race previously. I move on to the DRS, thorough manager, thoroughgraph, times the rag sheets. From an analytical standpoint, I rely heavily on a gentleman by the name of Jared Hughes for some bloodstock history. In other words, dam size. What's the family? Can this horse stretch out? We watch video of previous races. And then we keep up with the horses that have left the Maker barn. I mean, the things that I'm saying, it's not rocket science.
No.
It's there in black and white. You just have to have the people or the individual to execute it. I sound like a Mike Maker infomercial, but for the expenditure of what ownership in his barn or what I spend, the ROI is off the chart. Yeah, we don't hit with every horse. Good example here. I'll get into Hoagie. Okay, after the claim, I became aware of a cult like following that that he had behind him. But no, I'll just share with you how we identified Hoagie is we had two horses already in our barn, one named Shadow Rock and another named Galton, who had to run against him. And we could never beat him. I mean, it would come down to the final half furlong, and here you see him coming. He was not a big horse, but you could just tell. It wasn't video there. It was like I've watched this guy, beat me beat me live. So I said, put a note, stable mail, look at him. And, when he did pop up, I had the text thread printed at home. It says, does anyone claim an 8-year-old horse for 80?
Yeah.
And Mike's response was, we will.
He knew right away who you were, the his name had come up enough and you'd banged heads against him, while Scott Becker was winning, tons of races with him.
Oh, absolutely. And then Mike already had the spot, that day, I believe we won a three-way. So, it's not like we were, it was a secret. I believe the other two were Asmussen and one of the Engelharts.
Because that was at Saratoga, right?
Yes. And he ran second. He didn't win that race.
And then you went straight to I remember you went straight to Kentucky Downs and won with him a month later.
Yeah. Went straight to Kentucky Downs. I'll just reference back. Mike Maker, we referenced back. He already knew the spot before he dropped on the horse. We knew the history that he had already run very well at Kentucky Downs, and that's a very unique course configuration. So we knew he was the horse for the course.
And the message there, the learning there for people is. when you're identifying candidates, make sure you've got a plan. Know what you're going to do with the horse and what you can, you know, what you can win. You know, not, it's not just a, the objective here isn't just that, oh, well, this is a nice, you know, this is a nice 50 claimer, a nice whatever claimer. I want to do something with him. And it's very obvious that, you know, you guys have got a design. And then,
oh, absolutely.
And then execute.
I guess I won't say a real time example is that we took a horse back that Mike had previously trained for Kenneth and Sarah Ramsey at Gulfstream yesterday in race six by the name of Vegas Kitten. He's Mike lost him for 30, along with Hootie Moore and Bill Simon. We got together, scraped up $40,000 plus tax ourselves. And, you know, and when we dropped on him with Mike and after the race, it's like, where to next? Because he'd cooled out. They were very familiar with the horse. He'd been gelded. And I'm going, okay, is there an allowance race? We're in, so-called jail for 60 days, or maybe 90 days down there. It's a long time. What do we do? And is the, is he good enough? Maybe you could get him ready, to run the Sycamore, $40,000 climber in the Sycamore at Keeneland. And if that's because, well, that's pretty, Mike, that's pretty deep water. I think what we'll do is there's a starter stake typically, after the championship meet. And there's also a starter non-winners of 1X. So he knew the spot to put the horse, and which will get me to a quote that I just quit harassing him about. I used to when we claimed one, I always would say, Mike, you got to get me out. if I'm going to continue to play this game, get me out. And he's done an excellent job at that.
There's been unbelievable success, and obviously Zulu Alpha, amongst the ones that have come before, Zulu Alpha is just such an amazing story, because to win now six graded stakes, including a grade one and another pair of grade twos, this Pegasus, a unique opportunity in terms of money, the McDermott this past Saturday, the Kentucky Turf Cup, the McDermott a year ago, so back-to-back McDermott's, the McKnight as well, and the Sycamore, six graded stake wins and over $1 million in earnings just for you. It's an amazing success. You can't expect, even with a plan, you can't expect that you're going to go on a run like this with a horse.
Oh, yeah. I'm just very blessed and, again, fortunate to have Mike Maker. I mean, it's, the way that horse, he has moved that horse forward. He was, when I transitioned him from John Ortiz to run in the championship meet at Gulfstream for the longer marathon turf. He's always been extremely talented. I would just say the long, tall, lanky kid that you could tell had a tremendous ability. And, as he's progressed, he's, added weight, and after getting to kind of know the horse just a little bit, I'm not around him, frequently because, I'm down the south in Little Rock, Arkansas. But, Mike's staff of, Katie and Nolan Ramsey, it's unbelievable what they have done with that horse as far as his development. Prime example, he weighed, I think he's getting better.
Yeah, at age seven.
After the Breeders' Cup, Mike wanted to kick him out for about a month. So we, I housed my brood mares at Alex Rankin's place in Louisville, Ups and Downs Farm. We kicked him out there for a month. They did an excellent job of, you know, he became happy. He got to be a horse again for a little while, but they kept his weight. I mean, he's a big boy. He was, I think he weighed in at maybe slightly under 1,200 pounds, came out at about 1,205. And to give you an idea, he weighed, what did he weigh, 1,220, maybe 1,220, 1,221 on Pegasus Day. And as they weighed him for the paddock in at Gulfstream, he weighed 1,236. So, you know, he is a very happy guy.
Now, the performance on Saturday, Michael Hoyt is with us talking about the run that he's been on, an extended run of success, claiming horses, and Zulu Alpha, obviously, who, you know, very, very quietly, for those that haven't gone back to watch Bricks and Mortar and United in the deep stretch of the Breeders' Cup last year, having referenced the Breeders' Cup turf, Michael, Zulu Alpha ran a sneaky good effort in there at 19-1. He was fourth, beaten two lengths, and was also coming at the end and kind of, you know, had other, you know, other issues to deal with, and with a different trip might have been involved with the decision that came down to the top pair in a Breeders' Cup turf that was about as good as you're going to see. I got to ask about the, you know, some of the things that you're doing, including the baby that I sent the video out to everybody welcoming you in, and you know, the decision to breed some of your own, and, you know, to dabble in the breeding side, which you know, has taken the knees out of many, many people.
Oh, well, it all stemmed from you know, we purchased our first horse at a sale. I think it may be Fazek Tipton or OBS Mid-Atlantic. It was a horse by the name of, we named it, my wife named it after herself, My Page's Jewel. Okay. You know, she was cute, and she wasn't very fast. So we decided that, okay, it's been pretty cool owning racehorses. Let's breed one. All right. So, married guys or individuals with spouses or significant others, you know, okay, well, she has her horse that she will breed. I need to find one myself. So at the time, my trainer was a guy by the name of Greg Compton, and we dropped on Nina Fever. Won a three-way shake, and during the race, Nina fractured her sesamoid. And I tell you who hasn't gotten any credit now that I'm thinking about it in this whole scheme of things as far as me breeding is Greg. Because Greg said, hey, she's a big horse. You might want to breed her. And I said, oh, you know, and the rest is kind of history. And that, you know, we chose to go to Scat Daddy, and first foal ended up, it was purchased by L&J Foxwoods. It sold for $350,000 at Keeneland September, and ended up being a horse by the name of Nickname, who won the Frisette.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's talk about lightning in a bottle. You know, it's that doesn't, you know, I was at that very moment when Nickname won the Frisette, it never hit me that, hey, you know, that this doesn't happen very often.
That's really the theme of the whole visit is virtually everything that has happened for you. It doesn't happen very often. It's really, you know, some of it is, you got to chalk up to, you know, just right place, right time, circumstance.
Right place.
A little bit of luck is involved, no doubt.
Well, at times I can say that our Lord has a plan for us, and you have to believe that. But I didn't really think that it applied to horse racing.
Oh, Until, awesome. Maybe more so. Michael, I was so looking forward to this, and I have seen the horses, and in a lot of cases they were some of them were horses that I followed and have bet on, and I so often we have conversation. I've had the conversation with Mike himself, obviously, after these wins, and with John Ortiz, and I just wanted everybody to kind of get a feel for the way you've approached it, and it's a formula for success, and certainly easy to be impressed and admire what you've accomplished, and excited for the babies. That Justify colt looks absolutely gorgeous, and continued success. Just amazing.
Well, thank you, Steve. For the past few years, I've been a fan of your show. It's very informative. You get the different personalities together, which otherwise they wouldn't come together. You wouldn't hear the story at all. I would like to add that this is very much like anything else, as far as it comes down to the people that you surround yourself with. You have an individual as a coach or a trainer, and Mike Maker that I said in Maker we trust, or Maker I trust, is what I tell my wife all the time. He's put together an excellent staff. I've got an excellent bloodstock advisor in Jared Hughes. I've been able through horse racing to develop relationships with people that otherwise I would not have. And that's the true beauty of this sport, in that I started claiming lower level claimers. I tried this at 2-year-old sales, horse racing age sales, claiming upper level claimers. Got a call from a guy named Jack Wolf back in 2018. So Paige and I were blessed, and we were able to participate in the Starlight Syndicate for Audible and Justify. So we totally new circle of friends. We boarded my mares at Ups and Downs Farm, and now we've gotten to know Alex and Sarah Rankin and those circle of friends there. Nice. I mean, it's been it's exceeded every expectation that I could ever imagine.
Well, and that's what it's about. When you mention Jack's group and those that got involved with Audible and Justify, that means you've become friends with the Collies and with the Robins. And, I saw that whole group that just were having so much fun and the ride of their lives. That's what this is about. And it doesn't have to be at the most grandiose level either. It doesn't matter what level you're involved in.
Absolutely not today. I'm going to share something that I don't think a lot of people, but hardly anyone that they realize that, when we took Zulu Alpha, there's an individual that's near and dear to me that, we had talked about and discussed about claiming a horse together, because we'd known each other for quite a few years. And it's a guy named Hootie Moore.
Sure.
And I'm partners with Hootie now, and Hootie's Racing and WSS Racing, Bill Simon, a close friend of his. But I offered Hootie half of Zulu Alpha prior to the claim. And Hootie had a lot going on. He's an entrepreneur. At the time, he had approximately 30 horses with John Ortiz. He said, "Hey, thanks, Mike, but no thanks. I have enough horses. I've got enough going on in my life." And, that is, it speaks, you can't say enough about Hootie, in that, he's been in just about every win photo for Zulu since. So there was someone that missed out on the ride as far as the ownership end of Zulu.
but at the same time is just as supportive, and you guys
continue to very much supportive.
That's part of everybody. Exactly. Everybody's an underbidder on something. Or you lost a shake. I mean, there's certain decisions that are lucky, and the certain decisions that can prove unlucky.
Well, and as far as relationships, the individuals that purchased the yearling that would be nicknamed Larry. Nancy and Jamie Roth got an opportunity to meet and call them my friends, and we're actually partners in a horse and a two-year-old. We have a two-year-old Tappet filly out of Nina's Heaver together.
Nice.
So it's not only with the horse ownership, it's about the fellowship and it's the people. I mean, horse racing has brought a new and it's very exciting circle of people in my life.
Exactly. That's why it's so inviting and so infectious, because it's welcoming, and you come across people you might not otherwise have come across. And it's why, quite frankly, the game will weather any storm, because there's too many outstanding people that are involved in it and committed to it. And, Michael, this was, really just what I had in mind. I'm so appreciative.
Well, thank you. And thank you for having me on. I've been a fan. And I guess sometime when we're at the track, we need to meet face to face.
Well, I'll be. We got two shots. I know you're going to be in Florida when I'm at Hot Springs for HBPA, but I'll be back Arkansas Derby week too.
Okay. Well, we'll look each other up.
And outstanding.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Not at all. And everybody can follow Michael Hoyt on Twitter as well, and it's MM. HUI63, and you can congratulate him on successes or wish him luck or interact. And now that I've put the Justify Baby up on Twitter, he's going to be followed, and people are going to be suggesting names to the Hoys. I love it. And the one thing I didn't get in so far was the University of Arkansas Monticello, where Michael's parents taught and where he graduated, famous as the home of the boll weevils, which makes me smile every time I see a University of Arkansas Monticello sport reference. They're the boll weevils. Yeah. Let's take a break. We got to get Haskin in here. He's got a handicap and talk about the three-year-old prep races and get a postscript from him on the Fountain of Youth. Let's see what it did to Derby Dozen. Haskin, I assume he's feeling better because he was sick last week. So we didn't talk. So we can catch up next. Steve Haskin, Hour 3 coming up at the races.
The latest racing news. It's at the races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Developed by Horsemen, HorseBills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, environment-friendly, paperless revolution of how equine industries bill and receive payments. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for each horse, whose owners can pay through the same website with just one click. Say goodbye to stacks of invoices, handwritten checks, and postage costs. Easy accounting for all parties with the highest online security measures. Get started free at HorseBills.com. Simply register with your name and email address. Free to sign up. No subscription fees to vendors until the first invoice. Voices sent. For owners, you get a free account, comprehensive dashboard with information on all horses owned and billing records, ACH and credit card payment options. For vendors, generate invoices efficiently and receive payments quickly from both owners and other vendors. Syndicate and partnership managers get flexible billing and payment options to both vendors and syndicate members. For more info, call 888-938-4643, 888-938-4643, or log on to horsebills.com. That's horsebills.com.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
DRF Sports Forum Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Forum delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsforum. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on SiriusXM Radio.
There was a boy, a very strange enchanted boy. They say he wandered very far, over land and sea. A little shy and sad of eye.
We're back at the races, just exactly top of the hour. Steve Haskin, who I hope is back healthy and feeling good, because Derby fever is starting to really set in. And with the three preps this weekend, the San Felipe, the Tampa Bay Derby, and the Gotham, that's going to be a prep for the Woody Stevens, there's lots to discuss.